More questions than answers. I'm Chris Foster at Fox News. 10,000 pages of files are released related to Senator Robert Kennedy's assassination in 1968. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard on Fox.
Different countries were sending messages to each other around Senator Kennedy's assassination, saying that he had been assassinated, but that was before he was actually killed.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. questions the results of the official investigation and has said the convicted killer, Sirhan Sirhan, should be released. Secretary of State Rubio says the administration's patience is not unlimited when it comes to Russia-Ukraine peace talks.
While Secretary of State Marco Rubio says discussions have been constructive and created an outline for steps towards peace during meetings in France, the top U.S. diplomat signaling the U.S. could move on if progress isn't made.
We need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about a matter of days, whether or not this is doable over the next few weeks. If it is, we're in. If it's not, then we have other priorities to focus on as well.
Russia has rejected a ceasefire deal that's been pushed by the administration and backed by Ukraine.
That's Fox's Ryan Schmelz. We don't know why he may have done it, but the suspect in yesterday's shooting at Florida State University is identified as a 20-year-old student, the stepson of a sheriff's deputy who used one of her guns, police say. Two people are dead, six wounded, as is the suspect shot by police.
Students will be able to pick up anything they left behind from certain buildings during the chaos, but classes are canceled until next week. Students have already been gathering at a quickly growing memorial to honor the victims. And tonight, the community will gather for a campus vigil.
It's Fox's Madison Scarpino in Tallahassee. There are road closures due to heavy snow in Colorado and a risk of severe storms in the Midwest and plains today through Easter Sunday. Hail, damaging wind, and tornadoes. America's listening to Fox News.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288. 800-893-2288.
Don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a better offer. A brand new free Samsung Galaxy with qualifying plan for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword Pure Talk for your free Samsung Galaxy with qualifying plan. Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for America.
Good morning to you all on this Good Friday, and may you all have a happy and enjoyable Easter weekend. From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Scott Gross. $100 million. That's the price tag a new U.S. Border Patrol checkpoint near Yuma will cost. The project is still in the early stages and is set to be built east of Yuma on Interstate 8 near the Mohawk region. Now, the new checkpoint is meant to replace the one in the foothills after it was smashed into over a year ago, injuring two agents. There still is no timetable as to when construction will begin. And Alyssa Plaza, the Summerton cheer coach, excused from her duties as a coach and teacher, filed an appeal with the Arizona Department of Education so they could review the decision made by the district. Now, according to Plaza, she was trying to protect a male cheerleader who was being bullied. Plaza has a meeting with the Arizona Department of Education at the end of the month as she fights to get her teaching license back. I'm Scott Gross.
Easter weekend weather starts with 78 and sunny on Friday, 55 on Friday night, 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. Not as breezy on the weekend, 82 and sunny on Saturday, 87 and sunny on Easter Sunday.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Hey, Yuma, Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Happy Friday out there.
Beautiful day out to be here in Yuma. The weather's cooled off a little bit. It's gorgeous out there, Tom. It's Good Friday for some people.
most of the Christians out there, right?
Most Christians out there, yeah.
All Christians, right?
All Christians. Hey,
I said most because you never know.
Okay.
Hey, so made it through tax season, George.
Yeah, we did make it through
tax
season.
You feel like a proud American now, poning up your tax money?
Well, I had to do an extension, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did I.
You still have to pay, though, even with an extension.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I feel more proud, like Tom's talking about, when I see it and how much I paid and, you know, what I contributed and doing my part, and it's all finished.
So. George likes not paying, even though you get an extension. I don't know if you watch those numbers, but they hit you pretty hard on the interest payment if you don't pay.
Yeah, yeah. You got.
I mean, it adds up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, if you don't pay... I mean, you can do an extension and you owe money.
Yeah, clock's ticking.
The interest starts.
Oh, yeah.
And a penalty.
Yeah. And I think I don't know what the interest is nowadays, but I think it's like 12% or something.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's pretty high. Maybe you can Google it when we talk. I'm curious what, but it's a high number. It's higher than, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you been on that Doge website, Russ?
No, I have before, but I haven't in a while.
Mm.
I tried to look it up just to see what they were saving, but I couldn't find it. But it's really fast on my phone. Have you been on it?
I was interested in it. I was just hearing this. It's very transparent, and they have what everything that they do and what they're saving. I wanted to look it up, but I hadn't had a chance yet.
So you're bringing up a topic on the radio show of something you want to do?
Yeah.
Good idea, George.
Well, you're talking about interest rates and looking to see what the government's charging.
Hey, George, have you ever been to Mars before?
No, but, I wouldn't mind pretty soon using a Bezos rocket. Bezos,
he just gets up to barely outer space. Yeah. Like 60 miles. It's a little farther to get to Mars.
Won't be long, Russ.
In fact, do you notice when that rocket landed when it landed, there was no burn marks on it because there was no reentry. He didn't really get going up there like when SpaceX lands, it's all blackened and everything from all the heat.
Yeah, because it goes,
So. They don't get the heat. They just go up and right back down and don't have a...
So you're calling that not a great rocket lift?
Oh, I'd do it in a minute.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be safer, though, right? I mean, by not going through the atmosphere, it has to be safer, don't you think?
It's going to be less complex without the heat and stuff.
Yeah. It seems like the probability of getting, something wrong...
What are you up there for, 30-something minutes?
No, 11 total.
11 minutes.
10 minutes.
And they didn't even have anti-gravity. Did you hear that?
No, reduced gravity. They could float a little bit.
But not like the
not,
true.
Not if you get up for higher. Yeah. But
was that the first one?
No.
They've done many. Shatner did it not too long ago.
That's right.
That was just a woman's...
Women's only one.
Those women are so disappointed that they thought it would be like headlines and women in space and all that. And everyone goes, no big deal.
Woman power.
Thought it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
I just saw when he tripped coming out of it. Did you see that?
No.
Bezos? Yeah, he literally fell almost on his face. Look at the video on it.
Oh, okay.
He opens the door, he walks out, and then he just goes.
He did?
Yeah.
They thought it was going to be a pivotal moment like Armstrong or Shepard.
Everyone kind of gave him a bad rap, right? Because they said the cost of doing that and the carbon footprint and all that other stuff. For them just to go up there and
I'm okay with it.
You think it was their money, or you think Jeff just said, "Hey, get your girlfriends and have the ride of your life"?
Probably a combination.
Yeah, because I don't see them kicking out the true cost of that, do you?
Oh, they have been. I mean, that's where he's making his money. Is these billionaires are paying him big money to go up into space?
Yeah,
you should come and do it. You should do it. You got the money. Just put up a few million and
See,
I'll take an 11-minute trip for a few million.
I'd rather donate.
I don't know how much is that a second.
Tom would rather skydive.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
In fact, I know about 10 people that would push you out of a plane, so you have no problem.
I don't know. Skydiving, I'm kind of afraid of heights. Plus, over in by Casa Grande where they do all the skydiving, but once a year you hear about 2-3 people, chutes not opening.
Yeah.
They die. Yeah.
You've got to talk nice to the guys packing the chute. That's your lesson right there. Lesson number one. Talk nice to the guy that packs the chute.
They must be not doing the tandem.
Now they pay him like minimum wage and probably not the smartest people.
I've jumped out 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I prefer to fly the plane.
And around Yuma or somewhere else?
Yuma. Once in Somerton and then out at YPG.
Dang, you're more gutsier than we are, Russ.
I jumped with the Golden Knights.
Oh, wow. They could probably swing down and grab you if you went into a spin.
Yeah,
they'd
probably
right?
sew a parachute before we hit the ground.
That or one would just pull out a pistol and just end it early so you don't have to worry about the bounce.
Have you been in those cylinders where the air is blowing up and you float?
I watched it. I observed it when they opened that big one, uh-huh. but I never took the opportunity.
I actually did it in Oceanside.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. For the money, I mean, you only get like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes for, you know, this is all pretty expensive. But, it's like riding a bike until you figure it out. It was, to me, the first time wasn't.
Bouncing
and then the
around.
Guy grabbed me and put me up there. But, yeah, you have to, like, it's a balancing act. I don't know. I mean, our kids liked it, but for the money, I don't think I would do it again.
Huh.
Unless I did it 10 times so I got good at it.
When they first started the one at YPG,
you do flips and stuff, otherwise you're...
they had it to where in media I could have gone in and done it. I just didn't. I should have.
Yeah. But it is a balancing act. If you don't have that down, you constantly like
flip around.
So it's almost like, ride a bike for 10 minutes and you never rode a bike before. It's not the best 10 minutes, right? Because they're trying to figure it out. So.
Oh, you asked me to figure out the interest rate. What they do is they take the quarterly and federal short-term rate, which I plus 3%. Federal short-term.
Oh, but quarterly, though, so that's 12.
Is that what?
Yeah, it's 12. It's a high number.
No, they take the regular federal short-term rate.
Short-term rate,
and then add 3% to it.
Mm, so what's the federal short-term rate?
Oh, man.
Probably 4, maybe?
Question.
5? I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was double-digit, but anyways, what do we got going on to talk today, George? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I thought we could talk about some financial planning.
Okay.
4.25.
So it'd be 7.25.
7.25.
Yeah.
And that's what the banks charge. That's not too bad.
Yep. Better than 12.
But I think there's penalties on top of that, right?
Yeah.
That's probably where it's 12.
Yeah.
7 plus the penalties.
Yeah.
There you go.
I wonder if you have an overpayment of Social Security if they charge you that interest and penalty.
No. The overpayment?
Well, I mean, whether you get interest, you mean?
Well, no. Like, for example, like if your spouse dies and you don't tell Social Security about it, because it's your responsibility to tell them, and they continually, if this happens, they continue to pay send the spouse's check.
Yeah, that's illegal.
The check. That's, well, it's not illegal, but
no,
illegal. They make you pay it back.
Yeah.
Well, and they do have a penalty and probably interest.
But why would you keep taking that? You got to know.
Well, let's
skate the government, right?
Let's say I'm 62 and I retire. I retire, but I go back to work part-time. I need some money. So I'm collecting Social Security, and now I'm making over that $19,000 that I'm supposed to, you know, to not have to bill take the amount of Social Security where they don't withhold, but they're paying me the full amount. They want that money back. There's a lot of ways where people have this overpayment, and they don't really either realize it or they're like,
What? A couple of years ago, my wife made an extra payment to IRS that she shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
No one ever really caught it for a while because she does my books. But anyways, they paid it back and interest. They gave us interest back. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they do.
Because we were surprised to get it back with interest. So I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. But
so
it's kind of interesting what they charge. But they used to... with the Biden administration, people that had to pay that money back, because maybe they're on a fixed income and they realize, have to pay Social Security back.
After five
capped
years.
It at 10%, like a year. So you only have to pay 10% back gradually. Yeah. But now they repealed that with the administration now, and you have to pay it back quickly. So
no.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is a lot of people are going to spend the money and not have it, and then they just can't pay it back.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Throw me in jail? I mean...
You can't do that in this country.
Cost more than that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about
dock your taxes.
Let's talk about financial planning, George. Sure, that's why we're in here. Talk money.
All right, let's talk about money and planning.
Get serious.
So we use MoneyGuide Pro, which is, we think, one of the best financial planning softwares out there. Basically, what financial planning is it looks at where I am now, because I'm going to be 60, which is me, for example, 60 in July. And I don't know, if you tell me, hey, George, what age you want to retire? You know, are you going to be okay? Are you going to be able to retire, you and Teresa? Do you have enough money coming in? How much are your bills?
It's not only when you retire, because a lot of people can retire, but the question is, if they live long enough with inflation and taxes, will it be enough? Because, you know, you look at people that do retire, and they're good for the first 10 years, and then all the other stuff starts eating into it.
Yeah. So the software program will pick up.
We'll pick up if you live to be 85, is there enough money? If you live to be 90, is there enough money? Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, it's.
Do you ever have people tell you, hey, Tom, I'm not going to make it? Because the program automatically goes to 92 and 94 for women.
Yeah.
You have people tell you, no, I'm not going to make it that long, and, and you lower it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you have like people with high diabetes, heart problems. Yeah, they're like, no, move that down to 80.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody move it down to 80 on me.
It's their plan. I mean, you know.
Right.
The numbers they give are based on what they want. So the hardest thing about doing a plan is, you know, you look at you got to look at Social Security, and then you look at income streams coming in. So income stream could be Social Security. It could be other income, rental house. Could be another pension. It could be
military or disability.
Arizona retirement. So you get the pension, you get the income coming in, so that gets plugged in. And then some of those things pay out inflation, some of them don't. So like Arizona retirement has no inflation adjustment. Right. So
if I make $2,000 today. And
But when you plug that in, it's important to know that, because if you don't plug in that inflation adjustment, it will stay flat. That's a big difference. And then you once you plug in your income, then you plug in your assets. And your assets are, you know, anything that's pretty valuable. Usually it's primary house is pretty valuable. But there's other things people have of assets.
Rentals, other real estate.
Yeah, anything that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you come up with a budget. Actually, the budget's first. And the budget says, okay, I need $8,000 a month or whatever the number is. And then it all projects forward all the income coming in. Some of the assets. So say you had a $300,000 IRA account, it would show in the cash flow, like what point do you start eating that IRA down? And at what point does the IRA go to zero? And again, you got to plug in some estimates, like what's the return on the IRA account, things of that sort.
Yeah.
So it's not perfect, but as long as you give an estimate as good as you can. And then the other good thing about the financial plan is it's ongoing. So it never ends. So if something does change that is different from what you had on the plan, you just change it, and it can recalculate what that change is.
Mm-hmm.
The simple part of it, I guess, the big picture. But what I like looking at is the cash flow, because it will show you at age 70, 75, 80, where the money is coming from. And it also tells you when accounts get depleted. And then sometimes you got to tell people, hey, you got a $500,000 IRA account, but it's going to be depleted when you're 80, and people, you know, might not like that. So then you talk about ways they can not withdraw so much or other tactics.
Yeah. And that input, like you said, is really the most important thing. I think one of the parts that people get incorrect or think about without having a financial plan, after the break, we'll talk about that. But there's, you know, what the amount of money you spend per month. You know, you got to be honest with yourself. This is what I'm going to be spending.
Yeah, I'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5 or 6 a.m.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we've been proudly serving the Yuma community since 2001. Your financial future deserves the personalized care and expertise that only a local, trusted advisor can provide. From retirement planning to wealth management, we're here to help you reach your goals with confidence. Investment Advisor Services, offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace, offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Javis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. It's Friday. I know a lot of some businesses get off. I know the stock market's closed today, so luckily we're off. But I've been in the office for a couple hours. I noticed George hasn't been in there. But
that's why you're dressed cash.
And I got, I got two more meetings today, George.
Oh, you got two more meetings?
It's a full day, George, for me.
It's a full day for you, Tom.
So we're talking about financial planning and using the benefits of it. You made a comment.
Money Guide Pro. Well, our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. It looks like Russ opened up the phone.
I opened
today.
Them up, man,
hey, it's
for
Good
you.
Friday. I figured, yeah, let's have some phone calls if someone wants financial phone calls, of course. Yeah. Tom's ready. He's rock and roll. He's got two appointments today.
So. Go ahead, call him up, ask for hot tips.
Yeah, there we go. Market's very volatile, if anything. We think of that as opportunity, like you said it well, Russ.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity out there. People get kind of scared. And it's like the Marines, you know, if a storm's coming, do they run away? No, they run towards it.
But, most people don't financially, though. They see things dropping, you know, it's down 5%, whatever. They panic, they sell, and then it goes back up and they buy it back.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the opposite.
George, you're comparing yourself to Marine? I like
hey,
it.
You like that, Tom? Well, hey, Russ has been working out stuff.
Hey, I'm a Navy SEAL. So.
Yeah, I'm going to throw you a fish.
You can play anything you want on the radio, Tom. I'm a Navy SEAL.
Well, so the interesting thing about it is, if you look at almost all industries, people know to buy when things go down in value. I mean, you buy a house when the housing market's bad. You go shopping, you buy stuff when there's discounts on the food. You go to restaurants and buy the order that's, you know, special or whatever.
Yeah.
But in our business, people do the opposite.
They
panic and they don't want to buy when it's low. But then when things go back up and the economy looks good and the TV's telling you that everything's good, and then they want to buy.
Yeah.
So really, it's, I think there's any other industry like that? I don't think there is. People always want discount on insurance, and they're always looking for the cheaper
discount
version.
Gas.
Yeah, the cheaper on everything. I think we're like the only industry where things get, you know, market drops 51% during COVID, and everyone, you know, runs towards the hills.
Yeah,
and
Walmart on a Black Friday, you know, there'd be lines of people waiting to get in, see, because the prices are down. When your prices are down, nobody's running in to buy.
No, they're running out, actually.
Right.
If you took, on average, the average American, but it's never fun buying in a down market. Like, I've never felt, when I've bought for clients or even myself, I never felt, you know, like, oh, this is a great day, I'm buying in a down market. You do it because you know that's like the right thing to do.
And it ends up okay.
And then, give it time and you're okay. But it's never never feels 100% right, at least to me.
Yeah. Especially right now in this market, because I think this is more, I mean, people say, well, it's going to be a recession. And yes, this is economy driven. I think it's more policy driven. But I have people all the time that'll say, well, let's wait until things get a little bit better and it's not as, you know, there's not as much going on and less transparency, and then I'll buy. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Did you see when Trump, all he did was say we're going to delay the tariffs for 60 or 90 days?
My goodness.
But look what happened. I've never seen that happen, Tom. Have you? Like double digits on the S&P in one day? It was 12% or something.
Yeah, I did. Well, no, I haven't. But when you say it's about policy, right? You said it's more about policy.
I think so, with the tariffs.
But I don't think so, and here's why, George.
Okay.
They're saying that these, now I just read something this morning, these trucks that haul all the stuff from the stuff getting shipped from China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a huge logistics system, truckers and trains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, they're saying that almost came to a standstill.
But that's not a natural economic thing is what
I'm saying.
But if you stop
majority,
someone did something physically.
If you stop, I know, but if you stop majority of that kind of business, it's a matter of time before we're in a recession.
That could be true, but it's not because the economy just naturally went into a recession. That's what I mean. It was someone actually input something tariffs to make it so we could do that.
Yeah,
so policy driven.
But that's even a quicker way to go into recession or come out of a recession. If it's,
do you think even without the tariffs and everything, there was going to be a recession anyway?
Someday.
Well, someday, yeah.
Hey, you left it open-ended.
This year, you thought there was going to be a recession until all these things happened from the administration?
I mean, no, I don't know about a recession. No, who knows? But I do know that if they, you know, the trillion-dollar $36 trillion deficit, if that continues, yeah, then we're going to have problems. And how quick, how soon, debatable.
Yeah, you want some pain, have the government not be able to have GDP keep up with the interest.
But then, you know, you think about all those truckers that aren't hauling stuff. Then you think about the gas they're not using. Then you think
the
about
people driving the ships.
You think about
the
oil they're not, the restaurants they're not going to.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of snowballs into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little delicate because the longer this thing lasts, it's gonna get uglier. That's why I think, you know, I think Trump's probably smart because he's like pumping the brake. And then he lets the brake off for six, you know, for 3 months or, you know, and he pumps the brake again. So really it's like start, go, start, go. So the economy will be okay if you pump it, let it go, pump it, let it go.
Well, that's what the market does.
Right? Because, well, they don't like that, but I think it's good for the people that are moving stuff, hauling truck drivers and that, because back to business again.
Mm.
If they're, I mean, besides China, they're letting other stuff come in without the tariffs or difference. But no, it I think it can get ugly pretty quick if it continues on.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. But back to the main point, if you're going to dollar cost average in or be purchasing or buying, there's never a point. Even you and I, we've been in this industry for years. You've been in 20, almost 30, and I've been in like 20 or 50 years. We don't know when the bottom is. Like if everyone's like, well, buy and hit it, like just perfect, and then sell when it's sell perfect. There's no such thing. So
hey, speak for yourself, George. I know exactly where the bottom's at.
Okay. Yeah.
But even idea like COVID was down 50%, and even though it was down like, oh, the market's down 30, it's like, ah, this has to be like a good time to buy.
Yeah.
And you buy in, it drops, you know, another 20. So the answer is do it many times, right?
Right, yeah, have that.
Yeah, probably four, five, six times.
Yeah. Some bullets in the chamber still.
Yeah.
Yeah, over time.
And then once you do that, just bunker down. Don't look at stuff for 6 to 9 months, you know? And that's really.
No, that's the way you do it. You look at it every day, drive you nuts. So I got a question for you because you were bringing up the tariffs in China, Russ. I call it a trade war, but the tariffs and things were going on with China, they're raising their tariff, we're raising ours. Who do you think has the advantage there? Everybody says the U.S. because we only export 20% of what China does, so we're the main consumer for them. Yeah. That gives us the advantage. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, they rely more heavily on exports than we do by far. So,
but yeah, I would maybe say no to that.
I'm on the opposite side of Russ.
Tom, tell me why.
Because I think that the Chinese can endure more pain because the government's going to control it and they don't have a choice.
Well, there's no question.
So I think the typical American's
going to roll on their back.
They're going to roll on their back and screw, you know. So I think they can control the pain because the government controls everything.
To a degree.
And they can make their people have more pain.
Yeah, they could be down half.
Is that what you were thinking?
That's what I was thinking.
They could be down 50% and they just say, shut up and like it.
Yeah.
Right.
We're down 5%, everybody's dying, their hair's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hate to say it, with elections coming up, you know, in the next, 18 months or so, right?
Yeah, 18 months.
I mean,
two years.
People vote. So, but the only side to that, though, is... I think China is smart enough to realize that they can't just, you know, but something's gonna have to be resolved. But they, you notice the comments they made in the news saying, you know, we have a person who's ready to talk, and then they got to respect us, and like that's a lot of it's about honor, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's like instead of just running, hey, let's talk, let's work this thing out. Who's going to call who's first? That's like a big deal.
Well, they don't make this.
And where are they going to meet at and stuff that's irrelevant.
You know,
they've
been doing this. Their country's a lot older than ours. They've been doing this for a lot of years. And they do things slow and gradual. They don't do things like we do or Trump does with.
They're having.
Stop. Oh, we're going to get in there and we're going to talk about these tariffs now.
They got a 100-year plan, right? That's
what they say.
We always have a 4-year plan.
Yeah, we do.
And we don't have the patience to hold on, you know.
Yeah.
they're doing a lot of stuff right now trying to get around the tariffs by making deals with other countries to have them put their name on it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll ship it to you. You ship it to them.
Hey, that's smart hockey, right?
Yeah, but... I think Trump will figure that out.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure there's going to be things like that happening.
Isn't that what we do?
I don't know. Why would we?
Sounds like it's kind of smart to me.
A lot of tariffs against us. But I think in the long run, you know, this is a game of China trying to win over other markets to say, let's join together, go against the United States. And the United States is doing the same thing, saying, don't you dare.
So the way I look at this is the goal of China is to overtake us as a world power.
Correct.
So that's obvious.
They state that openly.
Yeah. But I think this little encounter by Trump coming back, the fights, I think we still have an advantage on the fight.
Yeah.
If this would happen maybe 10 years from now, like maybe the advantage would have flipped back to them.
Or 4 years ago.
And then we would have been, why 4 years ago?
But their main industry, though,
wouldn't happen, though.
Is manufacturing and production.
Yeah. But
they don't have oil. They have to buy oil. They have to buy energy.
Yeah.
They do a lot of that.
But they could also secure oil down in Africa or some other country and lock that in.
They've tried
so,
a lot of that.
But my point is they're getting stronger. Yeah, we can still outbench them. But fast forward 10 years from now, maybe they can outbench us. If you look at how much they've climbed in the last 20 years,
a lot.
It's a lot more than we have. So
but they've done
my
that.
Point is that I think this is a good bout to for us to do a standoff for our advantage.
But they've
United
done
States.
That living off of our consumerism, and we consume more than anybody else in Europe combined, anybody else combined. And they've lived off of that, and they've abused us and not allowed us to export to them.
Yeah, yeah, but we still got leverage on them. Leverage will go away eventually if they overtake it.
The biggest leverage they have right now is we don't have secondary sources on a lot of pharmaceuticals and rare earth minerals, but we'll develop those quickly.
Yeah, yeah, or I'm sure there's other countries that do some of that, and they're going to ramp that up, do they?
Nah, very little. I mean,
like South America, they have to be doing some of that, don't
they? They just started a couple years ago. Actually, just start doing some of that. But it's going to be a while. Anything you want.
Oh, well, we want a break right now, Russ, if you don't mind. It's Money Talk, AM560, KBLU.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we believe that knowledge is power. Since 2001, we've empowered the Yuma community with the financial insights and the strategies needed to achieve your dreams. Whether you're planning for retirement or managing your wealth, our team is here to guide you every step of the way. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Burning down the house.
Go ahead, burn it down. Burning down the Tesla.
I have quite a few people, Tom. It's kind of, I know it's surprising, but I'm talking maybe 25% of my clients will say, hey, let's buy Tesla.
Just to support them?
Well, and they think it's a good value right now.
They're not down that much really now. They kind of bounce back.
I know people that say, I'm going to buy a Tesla car. And like in protests of them giving Elon a bad time.
Oh, for support. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes, you know, if you're going to.
That makes sense. But a lot of people just ask me. I don't say anything. I don't recommend it. I just, Teresa, through the financial plan and they'll be like, oh, I want to buy some Tesla stock. Can we do that?
Teresa will look pretty good in Tesla, George.
Yeah.
Come on, George.
I don't know if that's part of my financial plan, Tom. I'm going to put that in the Money Guide Pro and see what that looks like.
Prices on them are coming down, though, right? You can buy one for like $35,000, maybe, right? Or the lower edition?
Used market's coming down. I don't know if the new ones.
Yeah, I think the low one's like $35,000. That's not bad.
They were coming down with some good pricing. Have you seen those cars over in China? You're talking about China. Build the dream, Build Your Dream, something, BYD, something
Yeah, that's B stocks. Yeah, I know. BYND, I think.
Yeah.
Model 3 is starting at a price of 44. Now, that's before rebates, so.
Oh. So what about that China car? That's a competitor, right?
That's a competitor, yeah. It's an electric car. It's
and they're like about half the price?
Two-thirds of the price, half the price. And
which car is that?
China. China.
Oh, yeah.
BYD.
They don't really import it, though, do they?
I didn't know that's what it stood for. I saw the stock symbol.
Yeah, Build Your Dream.
Yeah.
And apparently, you get online and you build the electric car the way you want it. You can have it, you know,
pink or whatever. And,
yeah. There you
go. But you can't order one in the States, all right? I don't think so.
You can't.
No.
No.
Keep that at bay.
No, with the tariffs, you're not going to right now.
No, but I had a friend that was looking at getting one. Maybe he was going to be in Mexico when he ordered it.
You ever think about just flying over to China, buy one, and then drive it back to the United States, George?
I do think about that, Tom, yes.
Okay, good.
I have a question here for you. You guys will be like, oh, whatever, George. So why don't, you know, like if you're a nonprofit and you want to help people, and there's another nonprofit, instead of competing against them, why don't you cooperate? Coopetition is what they call it. You're cooperating with someone that you're competitive with. How come countries can't do that?
How come businesses don't do that? I mean, why don't we... Are we cooperative with any other financial?
Always be competitive, and you have to always think, well, you know, we got to try it out.
Let's look at our business.
Okay.
We've been doing this for, you know, 24 years with Yuma Investment Group. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why don't we do that with our competitors?
Maybe we should.
Sounds like socialism to me, George.
Well, I don't think.
Price fixing.
There's some things that. You don't. Wouldn't be advantageous for us.
I know why.
Look
I know
at all
why.
The different advantages that you could actually have if it was amongst countries.
You know why though? Because if you look at socialism, it starts out as we're all going to help each other out, and it's all going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, by nature, are have their interests at heart or their family interests, so they slowly start cheating the other members. And towards the end, it all blows up.
So it's all human nature. So cheat and steal is what you're saying.
I'm saying that people look after their interests before other people's interests.
But you can still
human nature, right?
You can still
right?
look at each other's interests and cooperate.
If you didn't have food for 5 days
and
I had a little bit of food, would you be like... I just think it's a socialist
idea. Okay, what's the advantages of actually working... Okay, so do we cooperate with the UK?
And what some items, but some they look
some
after them.
We do. They're an ally, right? We don't. You would consider that a competition. The UK still. We're always competing against them and trying to take from them. And
our businesses are competing against UK. And,
yeah, that's true. That's business, though. I don't think you can have businesses compared to countries. Like if you're trying to sell me something,
here's the problem: if one country has a million problems, so yeah, we might see eye to eye on you know 200,000 items with other 800,000. Like we don't see eye to eye.
Okay,
like I want it my
just
way,
see
you
eye
want
eye
your
on
way.
The 200,000 things. Then how come it always has to be now? And now we got to be one up on you and stuff. If you're trying to sell me something and I have something you want and you and I talk, like the old barter system. You know, that sounds kind of fair, George. That's going to benefit me, and yeah, it's going to benefit you. That's how things work.
I think they already do that, though.
You're always going to be trying to take advantage of me and be like, nah, I'm going to charge him an extra 20% just because I think that I can one up on him.
Well, what's the book?
Maybe it is nature. Maybe there's no way around it. I'm just asking it.
I think the markets already take care of that. If it's common ground, it's already happening. What's a book by Adam Smith about the markets, the individual hand? Yeah, people will flow to what works for both of us, and then we'll flow with what doesn't work for both of us. Like, it's already happening. It's not like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
But that's happening in China and us?
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, they got our debt. I'm sure there's some talk about, hey, thanks for picking up our treasuries.
I
think it's
there
happening.
You go. So why can't that happen with trade?
Because you got too many different million ideas going on with different incentives, different motivations.
It's actually physically impossible.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Humanly.
And if it happens, it's going to get blown up because, again, people look at their interests first, whether it's country interest or your interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What happened in your neighborhood if everyone said, hey, let's just throw all our money together and we'll put it all in one big bank account?
But that's not what we're doing.
Well, you're working together with your neighbors, trying to pay your bills. And
hey, I see you got a mower and a weed eater, Tom, over there and stuff. If you do my lawn, then I know you're missing this. I'll do this for you. That's more what I'm talking about.
Okay, one item. So you're talking about a one item thing.
But doesn't that one item lead to things maybe later? Hey, you said, why don't I do your teeth if you do my finances.
But you just said, why don't nonprofits join up together? I thought 100% join up.
No, you're just saying find common ground. That's why it's called competition.
Yeah.
Instead of always being competitive with your competition, actually do some things that actually help each other out. Can you imagine if we actually did that? I mean, don't you see a point where we're just spending so much money on our military? China's spending so much money on their military. If you didn't have to do that, that money could go somewhere else. Go figure.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and if you didn't have everything going on, you wouldn't have to be in an arms race, and which is really what it is.
Yeah, but it's a selfish thing. Like, I mean, they know the United States would pay for a lot of the military, most of it. So why would I offer that? Because you're my neighbor.
Back to what you're saying.
And you got all the guns. You got all the guns in the world. If something happens, you can. It's all based on people looking after
people
their own
in
interests.
Countries and looking at more. Hey, what's in it for me?
I think you're better off making rules that are self-centered rules that people know, and then you can. People would last longer if they knew certain basics. Because basically, I don't know. It's kind of a.
No, it so, is. It is. It is kind of one of those things where.
Who gave you this idea, Teresa?
It'd be nice. I mean, it'd be nice if things worked that way, but they just don't. So I just think about that kind of stuff. It's like, well, what about, you know, why don't you do it more like people do it? You know, because people are. I think it's human nature to actually want to help people.
Let me ask you this question.
For the most part, how many people? Okay, it's Good Friday, Tom. How many people want to help others? 80%, 20%, 50%.
Well, I think everyone says, "Oh yeah,"
but they say it.
But then you tell them what to do, and then it's a different story.
And that's a different story.
Okay, but let me ask you: you have a circle. You got your family. You got friends. You got good friends, kind of good friends. You got acquaintances. What are you personally doing with this strategy? How are you personally helping someone else, or bartering, or whatever?
Listening. Patience. Listening. Yeah.
But how is that helping your neighbor? Just by listening to them talk?
Oh. if they're talking to me and they want something from me, then I'm listening and I'm contemplating.
Oh, so they never ask you. So that's why you're not doing anything, George. The point is, you're not doing anything for other people. Probably neither am I. Because I have a theory that if you just take care of your immediate family.
Yeah, and you should.
And that's it. Then no one out. Then all these other social programs can go away because... if everyone's taking care of their family, there's no one's starving. No one's, you know, if you have a homeless brother-in-law or somebody, right? If everyone just took care of their family, there'd be no other needs for all this extra food stamps and other things.
I don't know about that. No. How is that? Why are you able to take care of your family? Because you're successful. You've worked hard.
Because I'm making
a business.
I'm making an
income.
Well, but
there's families out there that want to take care of their family and they're doing the best they can, but they have meager resources or don't make enough money.
I don't even know if I agree with that because I know some families that can have money to put their kid in college.
Yeah.
But they are like, nope, he's doing it on his own. And maybe he will, maybe he won't. But it's not going to be an easier road than me.
They can look at that and they have a choice. A lot of people don't have a choice. They're trying to take care of their family, but they just don't have enough to cut it. Whether that's resources or income or intelligence, who knows?
Yeah, but if you look at a lot of these immigrants that come over, I mean, they all have, you know, with no money, you know, they have three families living in one house. Mm-hmm. They share the cars. I'm sure they buy big discount food at
you told the story
Sam's
about
Club.
The guys with the cans
yeah, but they're
the
making
beach.
It work so that eventually they're going to be in a good position.
Right.
So families can make it work. I mean,
they can, but so you're saying the ones that don't.
The ones that don't. Hey, you help your brother-in-law out. I know that story.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so you are helping someone else. I apologize, George.
Out.
You should
Would
have said
I rather
that.
Rather him do what you're telling me and pull up his bootstraps and suck it up and I don't have to help as much? Yeah, heck yeah, I would.
Yeah, but some people aren't that way, right?
Some people aren't that way, and some people and also, outside circumstances, don't necessarily think that way.
Yeah, or, yeah. You're always going to have the ones that fall below the crack.
Well,
you just got to help
them
out no matter what.
I think.
Yeah.
So, But it's interesting. So I don't know. I guess I was getting at it's a good argument. It's a good, you know, way to talk about it. But countries doing this, if countries did this, I think it would, I don't know, I think it'd be beneficial. Because if people think more like a businessman, like look at Trump. Why is he, whether you agree with him or not, and why is he trying to get results? He thinks more like a businessman than a politician. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Okay. So why don't countries do that?
Hey, remind me.
I think you can think of things as far as business goes. What can I do for you that you're going to do for me? How am I going to save money? Oh, go novel idea there.
Hey, just never become an ambassador, George. That's all I'm saying. See,
look, if I was an ambassador, things would get done, man. Maybe that's what we need is something, actually a little bit of change, a little bit of, you know, turning over some rocks instead of doing things the way they've been done forever. Look at where that's getting us.
I wouldn't want to be involved in all that personally.
I would.
Too many different dynamics going on.
Maybe on my financial plan, Tom, I'll put that in there as part-time ambassador.
You'd be an ambassador to Yuma?
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
You know, I guess the question is, how is 2025 going to shake out? Last year was a really good year. After Trump got in, the markets went up. Things were good numbers. You know, now it's kind of hiccuping a little bit. So if these tariffs last on and things don't get resolved, it could be a flat to down year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will it be a bad year, like down 25% or so? I mean, I think if there's a sign of a recession, maybe, but who knows. But
define then recession again, because you're good at defining recession.
Two negative quarters of GDP. So that means if the gross domestic product shrinks two quarters in a row, which is 6 months, recession.
Okay, so here's the one thing I want to know. If the GDP is 3% and next quarter it goes to 2, is that a recession or it has to be a negative below zero to be under the definition?
So it would have to be negative.
Okay.
Yeah, like a negative
because
one.
Because everyone,
like
the
a negative
consensus
one.
Is GDP might be 1.5%,
no.
And that's lower than now. So is that a recession?
Take it to the extreme. Let's just say you have 8% GDP. It goes to 7.9, and then 7.8. That's not a recession.
Thank you. Okay.
Hey, you're kind of feisty for a Good Friday, George.
I'm fired up today, man.
Hey,
got a little sleep.
Hey, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
At Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, we understand that retirement is a journey. Our team is dedicated to helping you retire with confidence, providing personalized strategies tailored to your unique needs. Whether you're just starting to plan or nearing retirement, we're here to ensure your financial future is secure. Investment advisor services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is Derek Egeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Welcome back, Yuma. When you talk to AM560 KBLU, George Davis Sr. and Tom Rush, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. Getting used to saying that a little bit, Tom.
Say it 10 times real fast. So your kid's coming home for Easter, your son?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he'll be here this afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
They have school today.
My son made it home at 1 in the morning.
He didn't have school on Good
Friday.
I don't
know. He just showed up at 1 in the morning.
U of A is holding classes. 1 a.m.?
Well, he called about 9 and said, hey, I'm leaving now. But took,
4-hour drive?
Well, maybe it was a little late. You know, but yeah, he came out about 1. But
okay.
So he probably blew off his Friday classes. I don't know. Hey, I don't. Maybe, we don't like to bring that up, George.
He'd be smart. He doesn't have any classes on Friday.
Maybe. I don't know.
Thursday. Yeah, Matt's got a couple classes today, so he doesn't get to leave until probably 1 this afternoon or something. So.
Hey, you know what we call that, right? Nerd.
Class.
Blow off your Friday classes and come home.
Nerd. I'm gonna do that to him. So, yeah, he's got, you're getting kind of down here towards the end with
when's he graduating?
He's got 1 more year after this.
Oh, so year and a half then, give or take?
Well, this year's almost, 1 more month left?
Yeah. So
a year after this. But he's already looking at his classes for, obviously, next year, but he wants to be a physical therapist, so he has 3 years of
extra
school or graduate school. After this, that's where it starts getting expensive. Have you seen that?
No. How much does that cost? 50?
Huh?
40, 50?
40 or 50, yeah.
That's a guy like you, George. That's no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Just shell it out.
I'm putting it in my financial plan. I got it. Hey, the financial planning has that in there for education, too. So there's a lot of things in there that people don't realize. You know, when it comes to college planning, you put it into the financial plan. When it comes to Social Security, it estimates how much they do a pretty good job of estimating what your Social Security is going to be. We always like to get a Social Security statement,
mm-hmm.
and that way we can input that and have better data for inputting. But in Social Security, there's, people take it for granted, I think. It's nice to have, but like you were talking about, you brought up a good point. My wife's Arizona State retirement has no cost of living adjustment. So her $2,500, for example, a month is going to be exactly the same when I'm
20 years from now, yeah.
Yeah, so... okay, if I'm spending 40 grand now a year, 50 grand a year, that's how much I'm going to need in 10 years. That's how we think.
But every 20 years, your buying power gets cut in half if you have no inflation index.
Yeah.
And that's huge, right?
It's a big deal.
If you live on $2,500, now it's worth $1,250.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the plan does that. So Social Security has that cost of living adjustment, which is nice. During the times when inflation was real bad, would we go up at 6.8 and 8.7? That's 15% in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, average is only like 1.5, though. Average.
Yeah, 1.5 something. Or 2, something like that. But
it goes up. The Medicare takes more away. And then, that's another thing. People find out, when they say, or Social Security is going up 3% for the year. Oh, but Medicare is going up 4.5%.
Yeah.
So some end up negative.
But you know why that doesn't matter?
Why?
Because let's say you're making $2,000 on your Social Security,
yeah,
and it goes up 2%,
yeah.
How much money is that?
I don't know. What's that?
$40.
$40.
Yeah, and if Medicare, I'm paying $200, and it goes up 5%. How much is that?
Less than 40.
Yeah, a lot less.
But everything matters, George.
Well, it's just because you're taking a percent of such a smaller amount compared to such 10 times the amount.
Yeah, I get it.
And so. People always say that, and it's fine. It's a good argument. But also, in Social Security, what's built in, there's a floor. You can never, it's law that you can never make less this year than next year. So even if my Medicare was higher than my, let's say Social Security was zero and Medicare went up, then I could actually have less of a Social Security payment. It won't happen. It'll be the same as this year.
Yeah. Well, every time I hear the word never, it's a red flag because never is forever.
Well, if they change the law, they have to do a whole new law and say, it could. But I don't know. I wonder how often that does happen.
So the other thing about the financial plan with Social Security is a lot of people don't realize this, but when one spouse dies, the Social Security check will go away and they have the choice to either keep theirs or keep the spouse that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can build that into the financial plan. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think, we're okay, we can retire, but that's 2 Social Security checks.
Right.
Something happens to one of you pretty quick, that could cause a whole nother.
And your spending doesn't get cut in half. It gets cut about, 75% of what you were doing with 2 people, probably. That'd be more realistic. At least that's what I put in.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just food and maybe a car, right? Gas.
Well, you
still not, nice
internet,
travel.
Power. It depends. Yeah. And then other things to do with long-term care and nursing facilities or assisted living, all those things. you know, that we don't really think about or don't necessarily want to think about, or family taking care of me.
So the other thing about this financial plan, which is pretty neat, is you can do the what ifs. And then what ifs, you can say, okay, what happens if you died, you know, tomorrow? And then it shows your plan probably going down the tubes pretty quick. But then it also says for you not to go down the tubes, you have to have $1 million of life insurance. So it also tells you what, how much you should be insured for to cover the what ifs. Because a lot of people don't know. And one thing that's frustrating I've seen is people like, oh, you have life insurance? Yeah, I got $250,000. Okay, do you realize $250,000 with you and your kids and all that will be gone like quickly?
Yeah.
So it's not, they're not insured enough. Mm-hmm. But it's, but they think, ah, that's a lot of money. Well, it is and it isn't. So these financial plans, given all the data that you plug in on them, will show you how much you should be insured for. So I think that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. That is a big deal.
And you can build in the plan, too.
Build in long-term care, too, for insurance.
I was just going to say that, George, but you cut me off.
Sorry, Tom.
No, I mean, if you said, hey, let's say do a hypothetical and say you go to a nursing home when you're 80 and the nursing home is going to cost you X more a month, it will show the funds depleting also.
Yeah.
So then it makes you realize, is it worth getting long-term care insurance? You know, some people it is, some people it isn't.
Some people it is, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very good. And you can do, you know, we can do another what if. Okay, let's say we downsize our house. So I'm going to sell my house for, you know, $500,000 and I'm going to buy something worth $300,000. And then you can take that extra money and build that into the plan, see how long that lasts. So there's a lot of moving variables and what if scenarios, and we can look at all that.
And the what ifs can go the other way. What if I work till 66 instead of 65? How is that going to affect my plan?
Sure.
Maybe I'm underfunded and that'll help me out. What if I take Social Security at 67, but I retire at 65? So I'll put in there and put, I had a client the other day. He was successful 99% both scenarios, but I put him in at 67 for Social Security and 65. And that cash flow chart that you were talking about would show you hypothetically how much you'd have at the end when he went to 80.
Yeah.
It was about $300,000 difference.
Oh, yeah?
It's a lot.
Just taking it, over time, taking it at 65 as opposed to 67. Well, so the waiting
two,
was
two
better.
More years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
people don't realize this, but when you wait after your full retirement age, which is 65 or 66, depending on when you're born, you get 8% more a year on your check.
Mm-hmm.
So by him waiting 2 more years was an extra 16%.
Plus whatever the COLA is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be 20%+.
But our brains won't compute all that. They won't compute taxes. They won't compute inflation. They won't compute some of those
increase
numbers.
In your...
So you really need a software program that plugs in those variables.
Yeah. That's pretty. I think it's fascinating. It's really good talking points, and people really seem to think, this is a great program. This is, you know, like you're saying, the what ifs that having, that's the problem with the market. You know, what's going to happen next? So same thing in life.
But,
if you don't have a financial plan, definitely look us up. Human Imperial Valley Wealth Management. We'll be happy to, you know, at least give you some advice on planning. But
our office is over on 16th Street, right across from the Wells Fargo Bank, next to Smart and Final. No one knows where that's at. We're coming to an end here, George. Wish everyone out there has a great Easter. Have family and friends over.
Yeah.
Everyone be nice to each other. and be thankful that we live in this country and we have the rights that we have.
Yeah. Very well said, Tom. Happy Easter, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
We'll be right back.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.